Just kidding. I mean, you didn't think it couldn't get any worse, and you know, so it just kidding. As Steve mentioned and prayed for our nation, I'm not going to talk about our nation today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the dynamic of the church and the leadership within the church and leadership in general, because certainly, you know, as you know, we move toward this significant time, we want to pray for our leaders, don't we? And I know that you're praying for your new pastor to come, and you want a pastor that's going to love you, don't you? And you want a pastor who's going to lead you, don't you not? That's really, really significant. And a pastor who's going to disseminate and preach God's truth to you via grace and truth. Now, before we get started, I'm not going to have an opportunity to give the tech guys any stuff to put up on the screen, so forgive me for that. It's Steve's fault for not calling me last night. No, just there's two Steves over there, so you can pick one. But and not to be a Debbie Downer, if you know who I'm talking about, or a Dennis Downer this morning, but I do want you to turn to, just to begin with, a few passages, and then we'll get into it. And I'm gonna cut this sermon in half today, only because, you know, I want to come back. I want to come back. And secondly, I got to speak again this afternoon down in York, you know, at Country Meadows, so, you know, time is of an essence. And you want to get out here at a reasonable time, too. But I want you to turn, if you would please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I think we looked at this the last time I was here. And I'm going to read something to you as you're turning there. And I'm turning there. By the way, remember the last time I spoke here, somebody said I looked like Colonel Sanders. Remember that? I told you that. And I shaved my beard off, and I didn't wear my white coat today. So, and but I didn't bring a 10-piece bucket for you. And, I had a conversation with a pastor a few weeks ago. We were having dinner, and the question came up, and you've heard this before. Where is America at, you know, in the Bible? In other words, where is America, you know, situated strategically in God's overall sovereign plan for the world? And the answer is, I don't know. I really don't, because obviously when the Bible was written, America wasn't what? Was nowhere to be found. And it doesn't say anything in Revelation, the book of Revelation, unless you really, 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 really read into it, you know, possibly where the United States is or America is at. But he wanted to know that, and I said this, and I don't know if I'm accurate or not. I said, I'm not really worried that, I am and I'm not. I'm not really worried about where God's perspective is and what God's design is for America. My concern is the church. Would you agree with that? The church of Jesus Christ. That's the church scattered all over the world, everyone who is born again, and the church gathered here, South Mountain Bible Church. And the leadership in the church, which is so, so significant. As the leaders go, so the church goes. It's just that simple. And we're not just talking about the pastor, teacher, leader. If you're teaching, preaching, you know, if you're some capacity with children, you know, cleaning a church, whatever. In some part, you're still leading. There's no doubt about that. There's leaders organizationally, institutionally, governmentally, you know, spiritually, right on down the line. And they have certain character traits, and I'm going to just share a few of those today. But in I picked this quote up, and then we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Someone said this election will determine the fate of our nation and the future of the world. Now, that's quite a quote, isn't it? This election. You know what? In other words, the person that you and I decide or choose to put in Pennsylvania Avenue, to put in as president, the president or the leader of the whole free world, really, in essence, according to this quote, of the whole world, is really, really, it is significant, isn't it? Now, I've been saying that this is the most important election since Reagan ran against Jimmy Carter, and right on down. And I think each one was indeed really important, really was significant, and really, really did show, you know, leadership traits. Now, I don't know, to be honest with you, if this election or just this one person, if it's Donald Trump or if it's, can I get his name out? I'm sorry, Joe Biden. Sleepy Joe. If that person will determine the fate of our nation and the future of the world, I think that's God's business. I really do, because he is sovereign. Now, do we have a responsibility? Absolutely. Right on down the line. But before that, I really want to look at, you know, the leadership within the church and some of the traits of the leader. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look what it states, what's going to happen right before Jesus returns, if you don't mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible, and that's sort of really, even that's a strong word, but that's sort of a little bit of an understatement is, some of your translations have dangerous, really, really dangerous times in the last day. Do you think that's going on right now? I think it is. I really do. With everything going on, not just in America, but all over the world. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. How would you like to pastor that church? How would you like to be a pastor in that society? Things have so changed radically since I came into the ministry in 1980-something. You know, now I was asked just the other day, do you want to pastor another church? I said, I can't. I can fill in, and I can do an interim, and I can do this and that, but I don't have the energy or the creativity or the wherewithal spiritually or the patience, ask my wife, to really to be a pastor teacher in a church anymore. I mean, for a long haul, 10, 12, 13, 14, 20 years. It's going to take a unique person. It's going to take a person, do you believe this, called by God and called by this church and called by this church. Before Jesus returns, according to Paul, it's going to really, really, really get what? Bad. It's really, really going to get bad. Now, when is Jesus going to come back? How many times have you heard that? Do you have, you know, people have dates and this and that, which is, but I think I finally figured out when he's going to come back. And I'm not teasing. When he's done building the church. Jesus said, I will build my church in Matthew 16, 18, and the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against you. So when Jesus, I believe, is done, not just what I'm thinking, when Jesus is finally done building his church, perhaps when the last person is going to come to faith in Jesus Christ, whenever, whoever, that's what he'll probably what? Makes sense, doesn't it? That's when he'll return. So we really don't know that. Until then, you and I have a responsibility, do we not? With Jesus to help, even though he doesn't need our help, he appreciates it, to help build his what? To build his church. And it begins, not that we're any more special, it begins with leadership. This particular pastor that I had dinner with, it's clueless that his church is in desperate need of developing leadership, but he's not doing it. In fact, that church is desperately in need of him stepping aside because of age. And he's done a wonderful, marvelous job there and taking the church to a lot of challenging things. But sometimes it's just what? It's just time to put your you know, your ego aside and allow maybe somebody else, younger or even saying, to come in and help lead the church. So, for years now, I've been thinking about leadership because I'm, you know, I hope you believe that I'm a leader. And at Country Meadows, I developed this little thought process called the eyes of a leader. Not the eyeballs, but the eyes. Each one of these traits, dynamics begin with an eye. Or subtitle, I should have this up the screen, 2020 leadership. 2020 leadership, because most leaders have real clear vision, real clarity. A couple weeks ago, Beth and I had dinner with some friends. This guy was saying that he went to his optometrist because his eyes were bad. He didn't know what was wrong with his glasses. So she examined him. Guess what she said? Not your glasses. Your eyes are fine again. You have 20/20 vision. So he had bad vision. He really did. And needed glasses. Then somehow, someway, and he wasn't saying that God did a miracle. Maybe he did. All of a sudden, his vision was corrected. And he could see without any glasses. That's amazing, isn't it? It's really great. You know, sort of like Eddie and the American, what was that, Christmas Vacation. His daughter fell in a well. Her eyes went crooked. Got kicked by a mule and got straightened out again. Can't beat that. Anyhow, here we go. Enough of that. The first eye of a leader. The first eye of a leader. Any leader, but in the church, is influence. Would you agree with that? Every leader has influence over people. I have a friend who is reading the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. He doesn't even like people. And you wouldn't like him if you knew him too. And he's doing really well with this. Particular book within this organization. But influence. John Maxwell, sort of the leadership guru of the local church in the last maybe 30, 40 years, wrote two interesting books. Someone sent me a little note to the last time for some books in your library. Here would be two good books to put in your library. And he wrote these two books, Developing the Leader Within You. And then he followed up with a book called Developing the Leaders Around You. Developing the Leaders Around You. So he said it's important to develop the leadership within you and develop the leaders around you. So your institution, your organization. And by the way, the church is an organization because it has some things, you know, that we have to do organization, but it is also an organism, isn't it? It's a body, the body of Christ. Every leader has influence. Tim Elmore, the founder and CEO of Growing Leaders, said this, that sociologists tell us, now this is an astounding statistic, that the average person influences 10,000 people in his lifetime. Can you imagine that? I mean, I've known a ton of people and still know a ton of people. I can't imagine I've influenced 10,000 people. But just average people, not just leaders, but average people, as you walk through life, 70, 80, 90, you will influence, I don't know how deep or how much, but at least 10,000 people. That's an amazing thing, isn't it, when you think of that? And leaders influence more people by virtue of what they do, what they say, who they are. Who has been the greatest influence in your life? Think about, don't say Jesus either, I know that. But think about this. Who has been the greatest influence in your life? Probably you'll say your parents, perhaps, or maybe a teacher, or maybe a friend, or maybe your boss, hopefully your spouse, or perhaps a pastor, teacher. Somebody hasn't, have they not? Been a tremendous influence in your life, and you have been a tremendous influence in somebody else's life. A leader It's influential. They understand people. They have vision, most of them. Accountability, awareness, confidence. They're decisive. They're empathetic. They're honest. They're inspirational. They're optimist. They're passionate. These are the traits that a leader has. Not all of them, but most of them. Think of, quickly as I move to my next eye, World War II. Do you remember the leadership? At least historically, some of us were not, you know, don't remember that because of age, some of you do. Remember the great leadership of General Eisenhower and being the chief, you know, commander of all Allied forces. But there was another leader at that same time that influenced just as many people. You know what his name was? Adolf Hitler. When we're talking about influence, it can be positive or what? We're still talking about Adolf Hitler today, are we not? He influenced negatively, demonically, hatefully, millions and millions of people. The greatest leader, obviously, in the history of anything is, of course, Jesus Christ, is he not? That's our model. Well, guess who is the second most powerful leader in all the universe? Satan. And by the millions and billions and millions, people have been following his leadership. Would you agree with that? Yes. That's why it's so important for the church of Jesus Christ, the true church, those that have been reborn, to lead with sound doctrine, with biblical truth, with wisdom and power, and all those particulars to battle and to fight and to go up against, you know, the evil, destructive forces. I mean, 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the end times, it'll be dangerous. There are going to be three powerful leaders working at that particular time behind the scenes. They are called Lucifer, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Are you with me? In Revelation. That's why it's so dangerous. And you see this spiritual warfare. And Donald Gray Barnhouse, if you remember that name, wrote about it years ago in the book The Invisible War. This war, this battle between two powerful leadership foes, those of God and those of Satan. Demonic angels and good angels, right on down the line. So, the very first, if I can use this word, attribute or character trait of a leader would be influence. You're with me? According to John Maxwell, and I concur with that, influence. And this is why I used the juxtaposition, if I could use that word, of Satan and God. The second eye is so important, and that's the eye of integrity. Integrity that a leader, church leader, any leader should be a man or a woman of what? Integrity. A person who has high character. Both in 1 Timothy chapter, help me out here, 3, in Titus chapter 1, in the qualifications of an elder, pastor, an elder, deacons too. The very first one is a person who is blameless. In Titus, and I think Timothy said, above reproach. You know what that means? A person of integrity. We're not talking about a perfect person. Hang in there with me. You don't need, there's, as my brother said, there's only one, and they crucified him. So we're not looking for perfect people, but we are looking for leaders who are men and women of character. And I'm saying women too. I'm not saying that women should pass the church. I don't move in that direction. But there's women leaders in the church, are there not? And they're qualified and they're gifted. And they're unique and they're needed, desperately needed. We need to know what our roles are. When I was in grade school and high school, two things that I hated, well, one thing particularly, math. And guess what? It hated me too. You know, I was just very poor in a lot of subjects, but finally got straightened out. But in basic math, there's two, you know, when you're just doing your basic numbers, there's fractions, right? Is that true? Remember fractions? You know. And then there's whole numbers, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. Those whole numbers are called integers. Those of you that know math a little bit, integers. Guess what comes out of that word, whole number? Integrity. Is a person who is whole. No duplicity. No spiritual ambivalence. Rock solid. You know, not perfect, but a person who is really, really, as someone said, I think it was, John Wooden. You ever hear of John Wooden? He used to be the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. No, UCLA. Thank you. Thank UCLA. He won 7 major championships in a row. In a row. That's unprecedented. 7 years in a row, his team became national champions. They call him the Wizard of something Westwood, but just he was just a brilliant man, but he was a great, great leader. And he talked about integrity. He talked about character. His reputation, he says, is what people think you are. Character is what people know you are. And what you know you are, too. There's a difference between reputation and character. People know about you, that's a reputation. What you know about yourself, that's a character. But a leader needs to be a person of integrity. That's why we're just sort of a little concerned about who we're going to put in the White House. Isn't that true? That's really true. I mean, I'm not supposed to be preaching politics, and you shouldn't from the pulpit, but you know I'm conservative. I mean, most of you are conservative. Why wouldn't we? And that doesn't mean there's not wonderful Democratic people, really. But we get into issues of definition of marriage. It's only man and woman, right? There's no vacillation when that's why I just sort of cringe when I see our chief medical person in Pennsylvania. I just struggle with that. She knows a lot, or he knows a lot, but he or she doesn't even know who he is or she is. It's a challenge. It really is. Doesn't mean that these people can't be brilliant. They're morally off compass. That's why the church is so significant, isn't it? The church is the North Star. The pastor, teacher of that church needs to be able to teach and preach and lead and love you sound doctrine, because Timothy said there's going to come a time when all people want is their ears what? Tickled. They don't want their hearts transformed. And God's biblical truth transforms hearts and minds. It doesn't tickle ears. It does fill us with joy and peace and grace, but that's a total different thing. You know, and I know, when you hire a pastor teacher here at this church, he's not going to be perfect, but he's going to be a person of integrity, won't you? You'll check that out pretty carefully, pretty closely, and keep checking it out. It's important. It really is. And if there's some stuff, you know, work through it. Again, don't look for perfection. I have a great quote here, but I just don't have time, because I want to move into one more I that's really, really important. Then when you ask me to come back, Henry, I will come back, you know. And if not, then I'll give the stuff to other people, they can teach it to you. I just assume you get a pastor. That's really what's important. But the third eye is, here we go now. This is the first one is influence. The eyes of a leader, 2020 leadership. Influence. Second, integrity. And third is pretty, you've heard this before. A leader, for the most part, is inspiring, isn't he? He's a person of inspiration. He's a person who inspires you. This is one of my favorite leadership quotes that I've ever read. And I wish I could, you know, and if you want me to write it down, or if you can get this typed out or something like this, it's something that you should tuck away. And it's by John Quincy Adams. I never knew he was born in Quincy down here. Isn't that amazing? Anyhow, the son of John Adams, was the fourth president of the United States, John Quincy Adams said this: if your actions inspire inspiration, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. That's a great quote. Let me read that again. If your actions inspire others to dream more, to learn more, to do more, and to become more, then you are a leader. Or someone said, you know you are a leader when someone is following you, when you have people following you. And by the way, fellowship is as significant as leadership. Not nobody following you, then you're certainly not a leader. Now, how you get them to follow, how we get people to follow the proverbs and principles and precepts of God's word, how Jesus developed his leaders, you know, it's a whole dynamic there. But inspired them to become better. Bill Hybels, in his book, Courageous Leadership, said this about inspiring people to be more excellent, to be an excellent leader, to be an excellent teacher, to be an excellent worship leader, to be an excellent missionary, whatever. He said this: excellent does two things. It inspires people and it glorifies God. Excellence inspires people and it glorifies God. That's why we need to sort of move toward that. We're living in desperate times, are we not? We're living in dangerous times. There's no doubt about that. 2 Timothy was right. Paul was right when he wrote that. Paul was one of the great leaders in the church. And if you want to read something, how great he was, read Acts 20, when he had sort of his farewell to the elders in the church of Ephesus. And they just wept because he was leaving them. He was that influential, that inspiring, that person of great integrity. We live in a world where times are really, really depressing, are they not? They're really, really dangerous. There's a lot of detours going on. Well, we need strategic leaders to move us in the right direction. We really, really do. We want to get people. I mean, there is the COVID-19, there's mass shootings, there's this election, there's just all kinds of stuff that put just, even in the best of best, put a little bit of concern and fear in your heart and my heart. And what we need and what we desire is good leaders, is to come alongside and to lead us through these challenging, difficult, dangerous times. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Integrity, influence, inspire. I have three more eyes. I'll come back in a few weeks and we'll go from there, okay? Let's pray together. Father, thank you that your son was the greatest leader of all. And so many rejected him. And so many still are. Why? Well, some people feel that the church has lost its leadership moorings. That we are no longer the light of the world. We're no longer the salt of the earth. That we're not penetrating. We're not stopping the decadence. We're not lighting the darkness. Perhaps that's true in some ways, but there are others. Good men. Good leaders. That are working hard. And serving hard. And loving hard. And leading hard. And we need to support them. And encourage them. And follow them. And be the church that God wants us to be. The church is the greatest dynamic, the greatest organization in the history of mankind, because Jesus Christ is building it. It's the only organization and institution that's going to last forever. God, God's Word, and God's people, the church, are the only three things that will last forever. Let's spend our time wisely and powerfully focusing in on what is really, really significant. Yes, there's going to be an election, but I do not believe, I really don't, it's the fate of the world or the future of America. I think the church is. I really do. Even though you don't hear it in CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, I understand that. But we hear it Sunday morning from men and women who preach God's word and God's truth. The wisest man who ever lived said, "Let this be the final matter. Listen to God's word and fear Him, and everything else will straighten out." Bless this time. Bless this congregation as they look for their pastor teacher. And we trust that the words that I share and the thoughts that I bring here from God's word and the concepts that you feed me, Heavenly Father, will be an encouragement, an inspiring and leadership event. In Christ's name we pray with love and thanksgiving. Amen.